Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Cool, cool. You know, Jacqueline uses this fancy new flanger here. I can't lay that one down, so I may not always see you, Jacqueline, but I know you're out there. I'm one of those people that likes to see people when they're giving a sermon, when they're trying to teach. I like to watch people's reactions because, you know, there's those times when the light bulb comes on and you just, as a teacher, I love seeing it. So if your teacher's out there, you know what I'm talking about. And when that light bulb comes on, it's something fantastic. And so I'm just grateful to be up here. I'm grateful to be able to deliver the word to you this morning out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you will swing over there, we're going to finish up talking about giving. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving. Giving is the second part of thanks. Why? Because they're related. Thanksgiving is actually a Christian title. We give thanks by giving to others, by giving to the Lord. You know, every time that Israel was thankful, every time Israel came before the Lord and God provided for them, they always gave back. Thanksgiving. It's about giving back to the Lord. That is how we give thanks. But to do that, sometimes we got to have a little vision. We got to have a vision for the things that are to come because of the things that have already come. See, Israel in the past lost vision oftentimes. And so we would see that they would have a good king and then an evil king and then a good king and like two or three evil kings and then a good king. And we see this rotation because people would stop giving thanks to the Lord for what they had, for what God had already done for them, and they lost vision. But maybe you don't understand vision, so I'm gonna lay it out a little bit for you this morning, what vision is, what it means to have a vision for the Lord. You know, there was a man in the Old Testament. This is a real man. This is not allegory. This is not a fairy tale we tell our children so they will behave. This is history. This was a real man. His name was Noah. And God came down and spoke to Noah one time. And he says to Noah, I want you to build me a boat. And if you're from the Navy, it'd probably be a ship. Now, they probably knew what boats were. But a boat like this? A boat that big? Well, how big, you say? Well, it's enough to fit two of every kind of animal on the earth at that time. Two of every kind. So two dogs. We got two cats. Right? We got two of everything. Couple elephants, some giraffes, right? A couple porcupines on that bad boy, right? That would be fun to deal with. Whose turn is it to feed the porcupines? Not mine. I ain't going down there. And he's told to bring his family on board. And not only that is, but they had to survive for about a year. A year in a boat, all the animals. Can you imagine how big? And why? Because God was going to send rain. So for us today, we're like, so what? Right? We like the rain. We need the rain. Waters the crops. We think of rain and we think no big deal. But you got to remember back then, they had never seen rain. Water falling from the sky. Can you imagine never seeing water falling from the sky and then all of a sudden there's going to be water falling from the sky? It would probably freak you out just a little bit. Not only was it going to be rain, though, but we're talking about a deluge of epic proportions. We're talking about the worst kind of rain you can think of, and it wasn't going to stop for 40 days. But not only that, but water was going to shoot up from inside of the ground, and God was going to flood the entire earth. And why? Because people were so evil, God had regretted making us. Boy, sometimes I feel like that's today. as I look into the world. But then there's always that promise that God gives us. But the promise only came after the vision. See, God told Noah all of these things. And you know what Noah did? He showed up amongst the trees, and he prayed, and he sang songs, and he waited for the boat to be built, right? And he talked about building the boat, and he made plans for building the boat, and he sat and he watched for the boat to be built, right? No, Noah built the boat. Noah took God's vision, and not only did he accept it, not only did he have thanksgiving for it, but he did it. He was faithful and obedient to the Lord and what he had commanded him to do, and him and his family were saved from this catastrophe. You know, God hasn't changed. Amen. Thank the Lord he never changes, because I don't like following something that changes every other day, right? Just went to the K-State game last night. All right, it was fun. Thank you, Chris. Chris disappeared. Maybe he knew this was going to be in the sermon. He might shed a tear. They didn't win. Oh, there he is. Hey, Chris. Talking about K-State game. You might want to go back out for a little while. There was an expectation for them to win last night, right? They didn't win. Can you imagine following a God like that? Boy, I sure hope he wins in the end. But we don't follow that kind of God. What do we follow? We follow a God that says, I have already won the victory. That's what he says. And he says, I'm going to give you a vision so that you can come alongside of that and you can be a part of that victory so that you and your family can be saved. It's exactly what they're talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. See, we've gone through this and it's talked about how they were going to give a gift. And it was a great gift, and he was going to prepare for that gift. And then it talked about giving and how it should come from your heart and how it should be a free will offering and something that you love to do, and it should challenge you a little bit. And now we're into here where he says, and not only that, but there is going to be this God-sized vision to come alongside of it, 2 Corinthians 9 in verse 12. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Let's go to the Lord for a little wisdom on this. Thank you, Lord, for the Word, for the Bible, which so plainly lays before us when we read it with the power of the Holy Spirit, that vision you have for us. We ask for that wisdom and special measure as we come before it this morning, Lord, that it would be your words that come forth, not mine. That it would be you that speaks through the Holy Spirit through me, Lord, that I would become less and that you would become more, and that we would become less, that you would become more. And James, you tell us if we need wisdom, we need to only ask. So we ask now of it, Lord, that you would grant us this wisdom as we go through these passages, that our hearts would be forever changed. We thank you for what you have done for us so far, and we look forward to the vision that you are laying on us for the future. We praise you and thank you. You are our King, our Father, and our friend. In Jesus' name, amen. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. See, that's one of the visions that God has with your giving, is to provide for the Lord's people. That's the amazing thing that it does. You know, the Bible is pretty clear that we ought to provide for those who are giving the word out. It's provision for those who are in need, those who are focused on the ministry. At that time, it was folks like Paul and Peter and Timothy and Titus, and these folks that are out there and they're leading their congregations, they're leading their towns. See, they were leading their towns in the word of God, daily spreading the gospel as they were focused in, and they would receive these letters from the apostles, and they would be pouring over them and learning from them, and they would be opening up the old scrolls, which we call the Old Testament now. And they would be opening these things up and studying them and seeing how the gospel had come from the time of the old covenant into the new covenant. And they would be sharing this word with the people, and they'd be pouring over these things. And those that were able to, they provided for that. It was a relationship, but it required giving. It required giving. And not only of money, but of time and talent as well. Folks had to cook meals. See, it wasn't like today. Today's great. Today's convenient for us Americans. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for convenience. See, I just take out my wallet. I throw $100 in the little box back there. And that little $100, God multiplies out, does great things with. And we have folks that are here that do great things with that. And so I'm not asking for folks to come and have to stay at your home. Although some of y'all would like for me to be there, some of y'all would be like, thank God. I can only handle so much Pastor B in my life. But you don't have to cook meals for me every night. Although I've seen some of y'all's Facebook posts, and I'm just saying, I may raid your homes at some point in time. You keep posting those things, I'm going to knock on your door. Y'all live close, all right? It wasn't that way back then. The church had to prepare meals every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Folks had to supply the food for those meals. Not only that is, they had travel back and forth to and from. And that was the great thing about how they were coming together, and that's what it tells us in Acts, that they were coming together and they were selling off everything they owned and they were giving to the church, because this was such a powerful and great mission of the Lord that was being poured out forth. And that's what was so great about it, is because they understood the importance of what was happening. Church, today, do we understand the importance of what the church does? I love how people put out there, I'm an old military guy. I get a little emotional when folks start posting those emotional military posts saying, thank you, veterans, for what you've done. And there's a lot of folks that gave a lot more than I did in the service. Some folks gave all. And we do a good job saying thank you for those folks. And then we come across and we see the I'm glad to see the healthcare workers and all these folks are being appreciated and what they do, because they're saving lives. And they're out there every day and they put their lives on the line for what they're doing. And that's amazing. I saw a post on the K-Love site one time and said, well, you know, what are you most thankful for? And everybody's posting all these things. You know, it was a little sad out there. Nobody was thankful for their church. Out of like 2,000 posts, I saw three that were thankful for their church and their ministries that were supporting their local area. Three. Church, do we understand the importance of what we are doing and what you are giving to? Because if you don't, then I understand why you won't give. I understand why you won't put forth your time and your talents and your treasures to it. Because if you're not understanding the importance of what we do, then perhaps there's something in your heart you need to align. Because I'm telling you, what we're doing here is not saving lives. We're saving souls for eternity. We're saving the spiritual, not the physical, that will die one day. It's great to save a life, and yes, we want to have extended life. But I'm telling you, if you're not saved for eternity, it's the great so what? I could be the healthiest person. I could live 120 years. But if I don't know Jesus, what have I ever gained? But that's why we have the church. That's why we give, because there are so many folks working hard for the Lord and for what He is doing, to see Him spread His word throughout the world. And I'm here to tell you, America, the United States, is becoming one of the greatest mission fields in the world today. Do you know we have actually people being sent from China to America to establish churches to save people in America? We flipped the script, y'all. We used to be the leader in Christianity in the world, and we're starting to fade from that leadership. And so we need the church now more than ever. Just like they needed the big support system back then, we need it today. And you know, there's folks in here that are brothers and sisters that need our help, and that's the overflow of blessing that goes out. That's the amazing power of God and multiplication. But it's going to take us to be able to have folks here that are doing the work of the Lord, and it's going to take folks here that are willing to go out and to do the work of God. Because in the end, God called us to this. And he says this, I love what he says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. This is the verse that folks, I hear a lot of people, and they switch church. Oh, I just wasn't being fed where I was at. And if that was you, and I've been there, I've done that too. But I'm going to ask you this. Did you read 2 Thessalonians 3:10? For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Are you working in and with the church? Are you giving of your time, talents, and treasures? Because if you don't feel like you're being fed, it's probably because you're not putting in the work. It's because you're not hungry, because you haven't worked. All right, that's what Paul was saying here. He said, look, if you don't want to work, then you won't eat. If you're not willing to put in the time and the talents and the treasures, then you won't eat, because we need those times, talents, and treasures to overflow to others. That's the second half of this. He says, first, you're going to provide for those who are in ministry. You're going to provide for those who are doing the work of God on the day-to-day, those folks who we're partnered with, but those folks who are willing to spend that time in the Word, those folks who are willing to organize and to do those things, and then you're going to have these other ones that are going to overflow with blessings to the Lord. Overflowing with thanksgivings. I'm going to tell you, this year we've done a great job of pouring out thanksgivings to each other and to those out here in our community. You guys have done a fantastic job of doing that. I've seen it. With the granted, we didn't pay for this, but with the food boxes that we were delivering to folks that were in need in this community, folks, we delivered over 3,000 food boxes. It was great to partner with them in doing that. It was great to see most of y'all out there and helping with that at one point in time or another. I loved how to see your faces out there and the thanksgivings that we were overflowing to God for what we have been giving by giving back to others. What an amazing testimony to the community. It wasn't that long ago when you guys poured out in the trunk and treat. And now most folks just see that as kind of a silly thing. You know, we received a thank you letter from the city. And they were so appreciative we were doing that. We kind of were actually driving behind that and kind of making that happen. And they were so thankful that we were there to serve the community. That wouldn't have been able to do if you guys weren't willing to give of your time and your talents and your treasures. The amazing overflow of blessings that pour out. And now we have the Thanksgiving boxes back here. I'm pretty sure we're almost out. We went for 20. I know we had 16. We picked up two more than I know of, and I think we picked up the third. We may have one box left. So if you're out there and you've been on the fence on your box, and you have this person that you really want to share with, and a person may have come to church here at some point in time, has been away for a while, maybe COVID, and they kind of got in that habit, and you want to share with them, great. But if you have a lost person that you just want to put in front of them a gift and a blessing from the Lord, we got one left. I got one left. God's challenging your heart to be the overflow, to be the thanksgiving, to be the grace and mercy of God's feet, delivering that to them. See, this is all to the purpose to show people who God is. That's the vision. It's always been the vision. To show people who God is. And I'm going to tell you, not just the lost, but the found. You know, there was two visions inside of God's ear. He said, look, and that's our overall mission here. That's our overall vision, is to go out and to elevate within. It's to go out and show people who God is, but to remind people who are saved and who are in Christ Jesus who God is. Exodus 6, verse 7, and I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. He's saying, I will be the Lord your God, and you will remember that it was me who took you out of your sin and death and into this glorious life of salvation. That's what it's about. That's the amazing power of God. And if you need proof, if you need proof of the vision, what I call vision proofs, first of all, it's in the text, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 13. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. It's the proof of the ministry. He's saying, see, all that you have done is not for naught. People see these things. You know, there's two types of gospels you can give to the world. There's the verbal gospel. It's absolutely necessary. I've heard some people say, well, you know, the best gospel you give is the one you live. That's great, but it's not. It's also the one you speak. God says, watch your words and your actions carefully. It tells us in Romans how beautiful the feet who bring the good news, for how they know unless they're taught, how they're taught unless they're sent. How are they sent unless I've, and he goes throughout there and says, how do they know unless somebody tells them? It takes both the word and the actions. And that's what they were doing. Not only did they say they wanted to give a gift, they gave a gift. They determined in their hearts what they wanted to do, and then they did it, just like it told us a few verses back. They didn't just think about and pray on and make committees about. They went and did it. That's the amazing thing of God, and that's where the amazing proof of faith comes into play. It was in their love for each other. It was in their encouraging and lifting each other up. See, it was hard times back then. It's not like America today. America today, I can sit out on a street corner and preach the gospel of Jesus. I don't got Roman soldiers trying to stick a knife in my belly because I'm preaching Jesus. I got folks that may yell at me. I got folks that may throw things at me. I'm okay with that. Nobody's trying to murder me over it. So you have to understand, in the church, in many of the areas they were at, see, Christianity was brand new. Jesus was brand new. The message and the gospel was brand new. And there were many who were interested to hear it, but there were also many who were looking to murder anybody who breathed the word of it, the Romans specifically. But there were many, even the Greeks got angry at Paul when he came and they wanted to throw him out. And even when he was telling them about it, the Jews absolutely hated him. They hated the message of Jesus so much, they put him on a cross. It was dangerous times for them. And yet they were loving each other in that time and still giving in that time because they had a love for God and a love for each other. Remember what it tells us, love God and love people. That's our two commands. Love God with all you got and love people as you want to be loved, as you would love yourself. That's what people see. And I'm going to tell you, through your giving, there's been a lot of love that's been pushed out there. And you go ahead and show the next slide there. It's going to run through some of the pictures here. It's kind of that final pictures here. Francesco, see? Francesco was able to come here because of your love and because of your giving. He got to experience America, and we got to experience some lasagna, right? Some real Italian lasagna, amen. How many people like the lasagna, okay? If you didn't get any, I'm sorry. I don't know if he'll make another one. This is our Connect group. On Wednesday afternoon, we're reaching young people. We're reaching these young kids with the beautiful word of Jesus Christ because you give. Because you pour out. It was a couple Sundays ago, Ron and Alice. Ron and Alice are here because of your giving. And they're pouring out because of your giving. And they're able to give these messages because of your giving. And they're able to provide for these kids down there in kids' church right now. They're down there, and Alice is covering for my wife who's not feeling well today. And the littles and the babies. Did a little trunk and treat. Had a lot of folks give to that. A lot of folks gave their time. What an amazing time that was. Community was so appreciative. They saw our love for each other. They saw our love for them. They saw our love for God because our messages were all Jesus messages. Whether they liked it or not, they got a little bit of gospel on Halloween, amen. That's what we do as the church. We go counterculture. People say, oh, you need to dress it up like Disney. You need to do Disney things. You need to do things that are popular. I say, uh-uh, the gospel is popular, and that's what we're going to give. It was an amazing time. Was appreciated by all. We even had some crashers, so that was cool. Some folks that weren't necessarily associated with church, they came too. Joe had a little Fishers of Men. Then we had the chili feed. How many of y'all got to go chili feed, amen? Yeah, I did. I see you up there, youth group. Right? Recharge. Whoop. All right, shout out for you guys. That's right. They got to go. Everybody, man, what a great chili feed that was. And then, and look here. Look here. The amazing gifts of God. You know, I don't even think we paid for this roof. That's how God is. This is that outpouring of God that comes back when we're pouring out to Him. When we're overflowing, that's the overflow of God. That's how He gives back to the church. He says, look, I'll take care of the physical stuff. I'll take care of those things. As long as you keep pouring in, as long as you keep giving, I'll take care of the physical things. You focus on the spiritual things. This is what your obedience has brought. People knowing God and coming to Him. I've had several baptisms this year. Young people coming to know Jesus. Folks coming back to the church, being here for them, loving them in this time. Boy, this has been a stressful time, and I don't care what your views are on the pandemic. I'll tell you this, we have loved people through it because of your giving. Proverbs 10, verse 17, whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. The gospel is moving, and it was moving in their time because of their obedience. And now it's moving in our time because of our obedience to the vision of God that He lays upon our congregation. The obedience is the key to the blessing. We've got to be obedient to God and His call upon our hearts. That's how the saved or the lost get saved. That's how we elevate the things that we're doing. That's how we do the more. See, that's the vision of God, and that's His overall vision. First is to go out. To bring the message to those who are in need. See, that's what they were doing inside of Corinth. They were bringing the message to the people. They were bringing the gospel to the people. And it was because of everybody's giving, they were able to gift that gospel out. Showing your community who God is. Folks, that's the churchianity word we like to call evangelize. Show them His love with our words and our deeds. Tell them about Jesus Christ and what He has done for them. But most of all, what He has done for you. People see it in you. Look, we're not better than, we're just different than. And the only difference is we're saved by the grace and glory of Jesus Christ. Not by anything that we have done, but by what He has done. And the second part of that vision then is taking people and elevating them. People who are in Christ Jesus and elevating them. It's part of the vision of why we have our mighty men on Wednesday nights. It's part of the vision why they have the Bible study stuff on Sundays. And Gay leads out the women's group on Monday nights once a month. That's the reason why we have the children's church and we have the Wednesday after school program. That's all part of elevating those who are in Jesus Christ. That they may come to a deeper knowledge and understanding. That was why they were pouring out this gift to the other churches, was because they wanted to elevate them in the word and knowledge and their ability of Jesus Christ. That's what our giving does. That's what the giving does in your heart. It shows them how to grow as we mentor each other, as the older are teaching the younger. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2. Then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard from me, say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others. That's what we're called to do. We're called to go out. We're called to elevate in. That's the vision that God has laid before us. And I'm telling you, it's a vision of gracious giving. The overflow from you, just like it was back then, is giving to the kingdom now. Is growing the kingdom now. Is giving hope to people now, just as it was giving hope to people back then. Luke 6, verse 38, given it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And a lot of people are like, well, they're not talking about money here. No, you know, and they're not specifically talking about money. They're talking about all giving. And what I've been telling you, your time, your talents, and your treasures, everything that you have in giving, God will shake it down, press it up, and pour it back out upon you. Look, he says, test me in this, see if it isn't true, but it's going to take your obedience first. Because you've already been blessed by the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're in Christ, you have been blessed by that. But in this verse, as you read through that chapter and you read the context of that verse, he's talking about grace. He's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about money. He's talking about time. He's talking about your love. He's talking about a full encompassing ministry of giving. And he culminates it with that verse. He brings it together and he says, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For by the measure you give, it will be measured back to you. For the measure you pour into your love for God, for the measure that you pour in and out your graciousness of Jesus Christ to others, it will be measured back to you. That's the truth of Scripture. Oftentimes when people are struggling, they say, man, I'm just really struggling in my relationship with God. I'm really struggling with a lot of these doubts. I said, how much are you pouring in? How much time are you spending with the family of God? How much are you volunteering to help out on a Sunday morning? How much are you showing up to let Jesus bless you? And oftentimes when they're struggling the most, it's when they're seeing Jesus the least. It's when they're being with the family the least. Folks, there's just something spiritual and supernatural about showing up with the family of God when they're meeting. And look, I got it. We can't show up every single time. I know there's things going on in our lives. That's not what I'm calling for. What I'm calling for is to pour in as much as you can to the Lord and see if he doesn't pour back. See if he doesn't honor it. I'll tell you, I've never been let down by God. I've never been let down by God in pouring into his vision. For the vision belongs to God. Believe that. When I talk about vision, I'm getting ready to kind of wrap this up by talking about what I'm seeing for this next year, what God is pouring on my heart for this next year. But when I talk about vision, it belongs to God. It does not belong to me. These are things I receive from the Lord. And oftentimes, they don't even come from within myself, like some kind of self-voice talking to me. A lot of times, it's the influence of others pouring out into me. God speaking through you, telling me that what's next. God speaking through you saying, hey, this is kind of what I'm seeing. And then God, of course, God speaking through the Holy Spirit on my heart saying, hey, this is where we're going. This is where I'm leading you. You got to listen. You got to pay attention. You know, he can do the same thing for you. But here to tell you that make no mistake, the vision belongs to God. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 14 and 15. And it says this, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you. Because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. His indescribable gift. That's Jesus Christ. That's the overall vision. That's the 10,000-foot vision of God. And now we bring it back for specificity, for the specific vision that he has for us here, for the specific vision he had for them there. And first, it was a vision for the body to love one another, to be part of this giving, to pour out in prayer and in grace to each other. You know, that's a great thing about the church, isn't it? Look, it isn't always true, but I find that it's mostly true. Folks here want to be gracious. Y'all want to be gracious, amen? Well, three people do anyway. We want to be gracious, amen? Amen? Why do we want to be gracious? Because God was gracious to me, right? And because I want you to be gracious to me. Because when I mess up, all right, I want some grace. And as you mess up, I want to give you the grace of love of God and the family. See, that's it. That's the vision of elevating each other from within. It's that gracious giving of our hearts. That's the vision of God, to love one another. First, he said, love the church first, and then love the lost. He said, lift each other up and then go out and show the lost what family really looks like through prayer and through get grace. These are gifts also that are given, and they were giving to each other here. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply. Why? Because love covers the multitude of sin. You know what makes us different than the world? When you mess up, I don't throw you out. When we mess up, we don't throw you out. Mess up on your job, see what happens. Yo, you sure? You may get away with it once, twice. These days, five times. But they won't keep you forever. Church does. God does. And Peter asked, how many times should I forgive my brother? He says, not only seven, but seven times seven. He says, forgive them in perfection, so that grace may abound. I love that about the church, is that we can have grace for each other. We're all going to mess up. We're all going to make mistakes. We're going to make each other mad, believe it or not, church. Amen. That's okay. The key is to love and show grace. Don't live in the disappointment. That's what makes us different than every other community of people that gets together. That's what makes you different from the Boy Scouts and the Elks Lodge and all these places. If you mess up, they're going to kick you out. If you don't pay your dues, you're going to get kicked out. But here, you never get kicked out. You always belong. For the grace of God covers. And that's what your giving does. It provides for that vision. Then people see God in us. They see what we're doing. They see how we love. Sure, we're hypocrites. Amen. Okay, we don't want to amen now. Come on now. I had you for a little bit. We're hypocrites. Amen. Amen. Right? Because we're sinful creatures and yet we're loved by the grace of God. That's the very definition of hypocrisy, you know, is being one way and yet being another way, being the exact opposite way. And even in our flesh, God forgives us, for we are hypocrites in our living. But that is the truth inside of this, that we live by the grace of God, that we let it all go, that we remember that we are all trying to do our best in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, what did it say? And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all you need, you will be able to abound in every good work. That's how everything ties together, that all of your giving is because each one of us is trying to abound in our good works to the Lord. We're trying to give as much as we can, and it's all thanks be to God. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. First, thanks for the proven vision that we had last year, which was to go out and to elevate within. I'm going to tell you, church, you've done a phenomenal job. We have new faces in the crowd, some folks we've never seen before, some folks that were and have come back. It's amazing to see what God has done. That was the vision I gave you guys last January, is to go out and to elevate within. And every crook and cranny of all of you have done that, have gone out and have elevated within. We've seen the new ministries begin and some of the old ministries have finally come back. And we've seen folks elevated through that. Chris Cooper became elder this year. We're elevating within. We're fulfilling that vision, and God's got a vision to come. God's got a God-sized vision to come. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, I mean this. We just finished up our budget meeting. Whoo, that was fun. For every budget meeting, this is what happens. I tell the guy or the folks, I can't use guys anymore, that's an improv. Folks, I tell folks. All right, if you're on the budget team, we got a budget team that comes together that's kind of the key people throughout the church that are doing ministries that have an input on our budget. I tell them the first thing they need to do is go home and pray. I remember the first year I did this when I first got here, when that was the first meeting. I said, okay, here's some papers, but I don't want any input. I want you to just go home and pray. And I want God to reveal a vision for what the next year looks like. He'll give you a number. And they kind of looked at me like y'all are looking at me now. Huh? I just want you to go pray. And they did, and they were obedient to that. And we came back the next week, and they had a number. We did the same thing, only this week I got the email out early. And they were able to pray. And then so when we came to the first meeting, everybody kind of had a number. You know where we found? We found ourselves right around that $200,000 mark, y'all. That's the God-sized budget for this next year, 200 grand. Biggest budget we've ever planned for in recent history, right, Jody? Most of us look back and go, how are we going to get there, Pastor? I said, I don't know, but God gave us the number, so we got to get there. All right, amen? Amen? Are you guys on board with that? Okay, three of y'all. Okay, we'll get there. But it's going to take y'all. And it's not just the money we're talking about here. Because a lot of times where the money came from this year in the church, it wasn't even necessarily from the weekly giving. It was from when we poured out and God poured back in. Amen. It was from when we given of our time and our talents and our treasures and we were faithful and we were obedient and God gave back in. The question is, how do we get from where we are to there? That's what I brought up last week. You know what it takes to get from where we are to where we want to be with God? It takes $10 a week per family. Money-wise. That's it. I mean, I think I about spend that in coffee, y'all. But that's me. $10 a week per family. That means if you're not giving anything, you got to give $10 a week. And that means if you give $1,000 a week, you give $1,010 per week. It's not on an elevated scale. It's not 10%. It's $10 per family per week. That's all it takes. That's manageable, y'all. In my heart. When we broke it out like that, at first we were like, $200,000, that's a lot of money to make up. We broke it down to lowest, $10 per week is not that much. That's what it takes to make a God-sized vision possible, is taking the first little step. And again, it's not just the money. What is it that you can give this next year that can elevate your giving in your time? How about 1 hour more a week on average? What about your talents? How about giving one more day a week on average to the success of the mission of the church? What an amazing thing God will do with your time and your talents and your treasures if you're willing to give. God says you can do it. Esther 4, verse 14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But if you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. See, God has brought you for such a time as this. God has purposefully put you in the Kaw Valley area for such a time as this. God has put you in this place in Rossville Christian Church for such a time as this, because he says, I got a God-sized vision and you're the people that can do it. And how do you know? Well, folks, look what we did last year. Amen. You have been obedient and faithful to God, and I am encouraging you to continue in that faithfulness and that obedience, because God has placed you here for such a time as this to give of your time, your talent, and your treasures. We will have work to do. We still have work to do. That's the wonderful thing about God and the kingdom, is there's always something to do, amen. There's always work to do with your neighbor. There's always work to do with your coworker. There's always work to do with your family members. There's always work to do with your friends at school. There's always work to do for Jesus Christ. So let us remain steadfast in giving, and let us remain steadfast in love, and let us remain steadfast in the grace of God. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord.